I got it the first try this time. All right, let us open with a word of prayer this morning as we continue our study through heaven. Father, we thank you again for this morning. Thank you for each one that is here today as we continue our study looking at eternity, where we will spend eternity with you. And we're excited about that. We're excited that we get to be in your presence. And we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you have shown to us that allows for us to have that opportunity. We just pray that you'll guide and direct in our conversation and our discussion and our time this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, a couple of quick questions here. And just as we review, we have gone from just an introduction to what we are going to be covering. Well, we went through our timeline. I keep putting this up. Bob mentioned this morning that he doesn't need to be here anymore because he's got this memorized. But it's just a handy reference for me that we can kind of just. If you are anything like me, I'm a visual person. I need visual. I see. It just is handy to have kind of a picture thing in front of me, and so it just kind of helps me keep things in perspective. And so that's why I keep bringing it out, so that we can kind of keep making reference to it as we go along. So we did our timeline from creation to recreation, and we covered the topic of hell, the reality of it, that there is really a place. Hell or Hades, and there is the reality of the eternal lake of fire, where those that do not believe, that have not put their faith in Christ Jesus, will spend eternity. And I hope that through this, as we continue to touch on it, that part of it is very sobering, and just a reminder to us in our responsibility to the unbelievers, to the lost of this world. Hell is real. It is a place of torment, and it is forever. And so just a sobering reminder there. We've gotten into the topic of what we have been calling intermediate heaven. Heaven right here at the top, not after the great white throne judgment, but right here at the top. We're calling that intermediate heaven. We got into the subject last week that this heaven is a temporary heaven. And the reason why we're kind of hitting it and going through some details is it's going to build on when we start looking at eternal heaven or the new heaven and new earth. And so we're going through intermediate heaven as it builds for where we will be forever. And so a couple of quick review questions here, and we're going to continue our discussion this week on intermediate heaven. So my first question for you is, will we spend, as believers, will we spend forever in heaven, or will we spend eternity in heaven? Explain. Remember what we said last week? Remember I asked that question? And so, yes or no is an appropriate answer, but you have to explain it to get the reward. So somebody want to explain why yes or no could be the right answer? So if you say no, we're not going to spend eternity in this heaven because we will spend eternity in that heaven. Or you could say yes because we're going to spend eternity in the new heaven. So I'm cheating this morning, but I do have a reward for you. Whoever brought the cookies this morning, thank you. I was telling them this morning, I have chocolates at home. I have the chocolates now, and at the rate they're going, they won't make it till next week. But they're still at my house. Okay, second question. We talked about the judgments, and what is the judgment for believers? What is the name of that judgment, Tom? The Bema Seat, or the Judgment Seat of Christ. Are you allowed to have a cookie? Okay, I
Sergio.
Sergio? And then we talked about the judgment, the Great White Throne Judgment. what is being judged? What is that judgment, and what is being judged? And for their deeds.
I don't need a cookie.
Well,
I'll get one later.
You just don't want me to touch it, do you? Sergio, do you want another cookie?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Still want another cookie?
10-second rule. Okay. Let's get on here. We talked about just describing this heaven here, and as we go through it, we're going to kind of get into the nature of the intermediate heaven now. We talked about different things that are there. So the question that we start off with this morning, is the intermediate heaven a part of our universe or another universe? Where is intermediate heaven? What are... different dimension. There are scientists that believe that not only do we have our three or four or five dimensions, but that there could be potentially up to 11 or 12 different dimensions. There's a lot of theory into some of that, but intermediate heaven, where it is, I don't know that we can exactly explain where it is. We often refer to it as up. The guys at work every now and then will tell me to throw a prayer up there for them and make reference to up. It's often referred to as beyond the stars or whatnot. Where heaven is exactly, the intermediate heaven is right now, I don't know that we could ever give it an exact spot, but someone read Acts chapter 7 for me. As we look at this, and we'll get here in just a second. Let's just read Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. Does someone have that 55, 56 of Acts 7? Christina.
Yep.
Yeah. So Stephen was apparently looking up, and he's seen heaven. Heaven is a place that I believe is it's a real place. It's a place that is a place that apparently we can see if God allows us to. There's not very many spots in Scripture where people have been able to look and see heaven, or see it from an earthly spot. We know John and Paul also had opportunity to see heaven. There seems to be more that they were caught up to see it than actually being on earth. And Paul talks about whether it was kind of a dream or whether he was there in body or not. So there are a few people that have been able to see heaven, and Stephen seems to be able to have seen it while he was standing there, and it doesn't appear that anybody else was able to see it. God opened up his eyes so that he could look into heaven, and he says he looked up and he's seen Christ standing at the right hand of God to welcome him in. There are also other realms, I guess, whether it's angelic realms or heavenly realms that are there that we cannot see. In 2 Kings 6:17, we know that Elisha's servant, his eyes were opened, and he was able to see the angelic beings or the angels that were on the hills and the chariots that were there that most could not see, and he had that one opportunity to be able to see it. So there was that realm, the realm of angels or whatnot, that are there, apparently around us, that we on a day-to-day basis cannot see. And again, very few people have ever been able to see that. God grants certain people at certain times just a quick glimpse into that, and we have that recorded for us. So is intermediate heaven a physical place? Some people would call it more of a spiritual place, a spiritual realm. But is heaven, like, is it tangible, I guess? Or is it just kind of there, Brad?
Well, if it's
he was standing,
yeah.
And he's there. He has a physical body from what we know when he was resurrected. Any other thoughts before we look at a couple of ideas here? It's a physical place. we'll get into the what we have while we're there in just a second here, but just looking at heaven, is heaven physical or just kind of spiritual? Physical. I think the consensus is going physical. Mm-hmm. We're working really hard at getting the idea that we are floating on a cloud with a harp and wings and a halo. We are working hard at getting that idea out. And I think through this we'll look at a few things here, but I think it's a physical place. Ever since the beginning of the church and further back, there have been theories that physical is evil, matter is evil, and I believe Plato believed that. The Gnostics, if you remember the Gnostic Gospels, a lot of what was taught in the Gnostic Gospels has the idea behind it that matter is evil. So if you can touch it, it's evil. If you can step on it, it's matter. All matter is evil. And so they're looking forward to the day when their spirit leaves their body, because that's kind of the ultimate achievement, is to get out of this physical body, because it's evil. And they're still out there today. Christian scientists have strong... The religion Christian scientists have strong leanings towards that same idea that matter is evil. Part of our unbiblical view of heaven may come from this idea that if it's physical, it's evil. If it's spiritual, it's good. And this theory or this idea may have crept into our church, and that may be where we kind of get some of our unbiblical views from, is that if it's solid and matter, it's evil, and so we're looking forward to getting away from it. We have to remember that God created matter, and we know that God cannot create evil. That's a whole other fun Sunday school lesson dealing with what is evil, but we'll not even go there this morning. How different are heaven and earth?
Did God make the angels?
Yes. If it is created...
Well, then he made Satan, didn't he?
Yes. God created Lucifer, was his name before he was... We referred
to... Too much free will,
huh? And all of the kings.
If it is created, God created it. There is no one, nothing else that can create. So if it is created, everything is created. So yes, God created Lucifer. He gave him the free will to, and ultimately he wanted to be higher than God, and he wanted to exercise his will. And from there we have the fall. So it is Satan that chose to do evil, or to do the lack of good. As we think about heaven, I guess I've always kind of had this, I don't know where I get it and why I have it, but when I picture heaven, and it's so wrong, it is often this black background, and I don't know why I have this, and I don't know where it has come from, but I'm just giving you what I kind of have grown up thinking of intermediate heaven. It's like this, it's this black background, like there's no sun or stars or anything out there. Now there's light, because God is light. I've managed that into my picture. But basically it's really just a floating city, and you know, the pearly gates and the streets of gold and all of that picture. And that's kind of, I don't think it's necessarily a right picture of heaven, of intermediate heaven. I think when I picture the new heaven and new earth, I come back to a better picture of it. But intermediate heaven in my mind has always kind of just been a distant place. It's the city, And there's, it just is kind of floating there. And it, I don't know why. What's that?
Oz.
We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, so I won't jump ahead quite yet, okay? We'll get back to that, and we should get back to it this morning because it's right here on the next, it's like two points down, so we should be able to get there today. As I've been reading and studying, I've been trying to change my picture of heaven into more of a, I shouldn't say an earthly realm, but make it more kind, more of a place where we live and a habitat. You know, we inhabit that place, and I don't know if there's trees and grass and all of that stuff in intermediate heaven. But trying to build a better picture, and is heaven entirely different from earth, like something that's unimaginable? And again, I'm talking intermediate heaven, or is it similar to what we have on earth right now? For the way that, not necessarily the way that we live, but the way that it looks. And where I'm going with this is, when God gave the temple to the nation of Israel, he gave them a shadow of what is in heaven. Could it be that there is more to that than just simply the temple being a shadow of what is in heaven? But could it be earth is a shadow of what is in heaven as well? And I'm just... Because he created paradise. He created, you know, when he created the earth, it was perfect. We look at earth now in its corrupt state. Now, I don't think that's a shadow of what's in heaven, but once we get to the new heaven and new earth, I think we'll be back similar to what earth is now. But that's way down the road for a discussion yet to happen. Anyway, it's kind of throwing it out there of trying to help us imagine. And I guess ultimately we really can't. But to try and picture this place that we are going to spend temporarily until we get to the new heaven and new earth.
I can't recall where I heard this, it's been compared to what the Garden of Eden was before the fall.
Mm-hmm. No weeds, when we go through the millennial kingdom, there's some similarities there in the millennial kingdom back to pre-flood, and possibly even back to Garden of Eden a little bit, because it's still cursed. The earth is still cursed at that time, so obviously it's not Garden of Eden as described in Genesis 1 and 2, but it seems to be going back that direction. I don't know. I really don't know what heaven looks like. It's just kind of a thought.
We know for sure there can't be any darkness because it cannot exist in the presence of light, and God is light, and he's there.
And that's why I said my picture that I grew up with of heaven just doesn't, it's not a right one, because it's like this golden city with a back background, and it's I got to get that light background in there, because anyway, I know that the picture that I grew up with was wrong, and that's why I'm saying this, is because to rebuild what my picture of heaven looks like, so that it's not a black background, because God's there and God is light. A white background. But I don't want us just floating on clouds either. Anyway, we'll move on. But looking at a physical place, does paradise suggest that it's a physical place? Where is paradise now? Anywhere there's a palm tree.
So here was, as we look at Abraham's bosom and the place called paradise, before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, was here. And now when Christ came, he came and he took captive, a host of captives. We believe that he took those that were in paradise to heaven to dwell with him there. Did he just move the whole place Was this just a spiritual realm and it exists no more? Or did he take the physical place of paradise? Because I think as we look at Luke 16, there are some physical characteristics of this place. Did he take the whole place and put it in heaven? Again, there's you have these looks of...
I hope that paradise is now in heaven, because when I die, I hope I don't mistakenly go there.
Well, you won't mistakenly go in anywhere. God will not make a mistake on where you go. Rest assured.
Doesn't there scripture back up that the absent from the body is the presence of the Lord? So I would think there's no more need for paradise.
There is, being separate from heaven, there is no more need for paradise. Paradise is not separate from heaven. The question is, did God just abolish this place and it's gone, or did he take the physical place of paradise and move it to heaven along with the people that were there? And again, there's no scriptural evidence one way or another. I just keep throwing out these little ideas that pop into my head as I've been pondering this. You wouldn't believe the questions and ideas that just keep popping into my head, and it's
property management. There's no HOA here.
So here's a couple of verses that I want us to look at. There are two books of the Bible that make reference to the tree of life. They are Genesis and Revelation, the first and last book. Now there are some proverbs that say tree of life, but they are not in reference to the tree of life in Genesis or Revelation. They're like wisdom is a tree of life. Just so, I don't want you coming back next week. But it says in Proverbs. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, we see reference to the tree of life. It's in the garden. Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, if someone would read Revelation 22, verse 2. Verse 2, Amanda.
In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielded its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the kingdom of the nations.
So we have future heaven. John knows. John and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Anyway, there's in eternal heaven, the new heaven, new earth, there's the tree of life again. We see it now. Is it the same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, or is it a new tree of life? The tree of life that's in the future heaven, is there one or is there two? Because it says that it's on either side of the river, but it makes reference to one tree. Not going there. Okay, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Someone read Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. So we know that the tree of life was in the garden. We know that there will be a tree of life in the new heaven. Is there a tree of life right now? Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Does someone have that? Shirley? So, he who overcomes will be given the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Is that reference to now, or is that reference to future heaven, the new heaven, new earth? Is there a tree of life in intermediate heaven? Pastor Craig?
Well, the verbiage is present tense.
The verbiage is present tense. So, he who overcomes... Yeah. So all of this, so I think there seems to be indication that paradise was moved to heaven. And that one I think is irrelevant whether it was moved or not. But in heaven right now, there is a tree of life, a physical tree of life. And where I'm going with all of this is that heaven is a physical place. It's not a spiritual realm. It's not a place that just kind of exists in God's imagination or our imagination. There is a physical, tangible place called intermediate heaven, or heaven, right now. And God has, in whatever dimension that He has allowed for it to be, He allows people to have a glimpse of it at times, but it is there, and it is physical, and there seems to be some good scriptural evidence that it is a physical place. No, other than when Christ talks about ascending to the depths of the earth, or as He would be buried in the with Jonah, there's references that seem to indicate down when pre Christ's resurrection, and that's the only reason. It could.
You know, I was just thinking the fact that everything in paradise was waiting upon Christ's ascension. And so, out of that same place existed in what we call heaven today, and it just became...
Could these souls have been in the presence of God before Christ satisfied their sin, the sin requirement? And that's why it's down, is because their sin had been covered but not perfectly atoned. And so it was their temporary holding place until Christ satisfied until He satisfied that payment. And that's why it's been down. And these red lines, I all of a sudden looked at it and went, these could be deceiving, because these red lines aren't paradise going down. These red lines are unbelievers going down to Hades. They're bypassing Abraham's bosom. So if that, those red lines are all unbelievers on this picture. Blue and green are believers.
When Jesus talks about, you know, I go to prepare a place for you, is He's talking about new heaven?
I don't know if it's new heaven or intermediate heaven. I want to say it's intermediate heaven, because ultimately there will be, again, then a new preparation for us. But He's preparing that place for us now in intermediate heaven, and then ultimately there will be the new heaven and new earth, which will be prepared for us as well.
And because it says where I go, that He may come also.
Yes, and He's there, and that's where we're going. Shirley? Okay, we're going there right now. You're really wanting this new body. So let's the question, and we're right there. You have brought us into our next point. Do people have intermediate bodies in intermediate heaven? And the reason I say intermediate bodies is because Scripture seems to be pretty clear that our bodies won't be resurrected until the rapture, when they will be pulled up. And those that have fallen asleep before will raise up first, and those that are still alive will be caught up with them. So, do we have some kind of intermediate body in heaven?
Doesn't it say somewhere it'll be a spiritual body?
Could you find it?
Me?
No. There will still be a spiritual side to us, but are we disembodied spirits in heaven right now? Now,
absolutely, when we get to right here, when the church is raptured, when we get to right here and the church is raptured, when we are raptured, we will have our new body, as we go to heaven. It's clear that we will have a body at that point.
That's a new heaven.
That's starting here in heaven. In the intermediate heaven, when the church is raptured, we will be raptured. Our bodies will go with us. We will be taken up. The bodies of those that have fallen asleep before us will be caught up.
Well,
what do we have right now?
But what do they have right now? From those that have been caught up with Christ at, when he ascended and took captive a host of captives. So when he took those in paradise and went to heaven. So this time period here, do they have bodies? Do they have an intermediate body waiting on the rapture when they will receive their body? So here's some thoughts. Do we have a temporary body until we receive our new body at the rapture? We know that Christ ascended into heaven. He had a physical body, but it'll be argued that he already was resurrected and had already received his glorified body. So let's look at a couple of things. Heaven, we've determined, is a physical place. I think you might not 100% agree, but I think through the things we've looked at, heaven is a physical place. So would it not seem logical that in a physical place we would have some kind of physical body? What about Enoch, Elijah, and Moses? And we're going to get into memories and all sorts of stuff here probably next week. At the rate it's going. So Enoch, Genesis chapter 5, verse 22. Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 and following. They did not die. Their bodies were caught up. Well, Enoch, we know that he was not. Enoch was taken up. Elijah, we know, got on an angelic chariot and was taken up into heaven. We know that Elijah and Moses came back on the Mount of Transfiguration. They appeared to have physical bodies there on the mountain. When they were on the mountain with Christ, what can we learn from the rich man and Lazarus? We've read that passage a couple of times. The rich man and Lazarus were at this point right here. So we have Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. We have the rich man in Hades. There's a great chasm that separated them, but they recognized each other. Now we're going to Hades, but what was the torment of the rich man? He was thirsty. Would a spirit be thirsty? Now I'm trying to build the correlation here that if they have a physical body in Hades, why would we not have a physical body in heaven? Why would there be two different states for the body after death? You know, we know one goes to hell, one goes to heaven. But if those in Hades get a physical body that can be tormented with the thirst and the heat and that's there, why would not those in heaven also have a physical body that could enjoy the enjoyable things of heaven in the presence of God?
So we'll probably have a body when we die and go to heaven, but our body at the rapture is going to be different.
Receive our new glorified body, so much of what we're dealing with is speculation. We get a verse here and a verse there that cause us to just ponder things. Most of what we're dealing with this is not a theology that I would stand on a hill and die for. There are doctrines that I will die for, and there are those that I will not. And if you disagree with me on whether we have a physical body in heaven or not, I'm not standing on that hill very long. It appears, and as we look at Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus, that Lazarus was carried. Would a spirit need to be carried to a place? But his body was, or it doesn't say necessarily his body, but he was carried to Abraham's bosom. The rich man in Hades was being tormented. He was thirsty. We know that Christ at his resurrection had a physical body because he needed to drink, he needed to eat, he needed to sleep. And so we know that Christ had a physical body. All of that to say that I believe there is evidence that shows that we have some kind of temporary physical body in heaven, in intermediate heaven right now. Those that are there, they have some kind of physical body. The martyrs in Revelation chapter 6, but that's after the rapture.
Never mind. John?
So if we do have a physical body in heaven, then we could experience pain?
In heaven, will we experience pain? Yeah. I don't know. I know that often, and next week when we get into the finish, when we finish up Intermediate Heaven, we're going to talk about the passage, Revelation 21, verse 2, where it talks about there'll be no sorrow, no tears. What is that in reference to? Which heaven?
The new
heaven and the new earth. Often we quote, I might be the wrong verse. Often we quote, when we're talking about there being no more sorrow, no more pain, or no more tears, we use a verse in Revelation that is not in reference to intermediate heaven. And we're going to look at how people in intermediate heaven now can still feel emotion and not just happy, joyful emotion, but also sorrow. The martyrs in Revelation chapter 6, they appear to be grieving for those that are being persecuted on earth. And they go to God and they ask Him, when is your justice for our blood and for theirs going to be dealt with? And He says, wait. Now that is a rough translation of Dave, but you read that.
Okay, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain before or because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed.
So there's there appears to be motion there, and we'll get into that. I'm going to send you home with a piece of paper here that is dealing with that particular passage that was just read, and some observations about intermediate heaven, because that's still intermediate heaven that we're dealing with at that point in Revelation chapter 6. It's not the new heaven and new earth yet. And so Randy Alcorn makes, in his book, he had 21 observations on those three verses about intermediate heaven. I got it down to 17 because I think he repeated himself a couple of times. Anyway, I'll send that home with you when we close today to ponder and come back with. But I believe through all of that there are intermediate bodies in intermediate heaven right now. It's a physical place. And so why would we have disembodied spirits in a physical place? Elijah, Enoch, and Moses all appear to have physical bodies. Enoch, we don't know for sure because he was just gone. But Elijah and Moses, when they came back, appeared to have physical bodies. Would God give them a body for a few minutes while they're on earth and then take it away before they got back to heaven during the Mount of Transfiguration? Again, I don't know. Ultimately, it's just a few verses, but seem to indicate that people will have some kind of body until the rapture. But that's after the rapture. That'll be during the tribulation time.
Oh, okay.
So that's after the rapture, and that one there is a lot. It's a lot more clear as to the bodies that we will have after the rapture. It's the question is before the rapture, are they disembodied spirits waiting on a body? And I would say no, but I'm not 100%. Tom. I cited it, but then I retracted it.
Oh.
because I knew that as soon as I said it, I knew then that it was after the rapture. Because I was going to say that they were given the white robes, and so to have a robe would imply that you have a physical body, and that's what I was going to use, but then I retracted because I knew it was after rapture, so I apologize for that.
Yeah. They're waiting to be justified for what they've died for and getting their bodies under the I don't know.
But that'll be after the rapture.
I know that.
And so they should already have their body.
But I'm thinking they're just souls waiting.
But if they're just a soul or a spirit, would they need a robe to wear? Anyway, that brings us up to this this paper right here, and I'll hand these out as we close here. This is 17 observations on that very passage, Revelation chapter 6, talking about intermediate heaven. And this will, if you want to just go through these and read these this next week, it will help answer most of our questions that we'll deal with next week. And next week we will finish up with intermediate heaven and start looking at what we've all wanted to really look at, and that's eternal heaven or the new heaven and new earth, our final resting place, our final destination. So any other questions or thoughts before we close in prayer?
Barb?
The church universal is in heaven.
Sundays,
no, we will be in constant worship. We won't necessarily need just Sundays. We will the church, not buildings, but the church people, believers will be in heaven. We'll talk about the marriage feast eventually, being married to the Lamb, being married to Christ. And that picture that happens there. The church people will be in heaven, yes. Church buildings, probably not as we would picture church buildings. We won't have a schedule of Sunday morning worship and that. We will be in constant worship. Remember, we're in the presence of God.
It's like the idea of, like, if we have a body in heaven, kind of like ours, because, like, I've occasionally thought about this again and again. And, like, I don't remember when. It was way a while back. But, like, in 1 Corinthians 15, like, through 36 to 40, like, just because it went through 38 to 40, I was just kind of wondering, like, if that kind of implies that, like, yeah, like, what kind of differences, like, are in the bodies, like, if we have a heavenly body, or if that heavenly body is for the one in the new heaven and new earth, or if that's the one for the
I have done a whole pile of thinking, and I can't even begin to share all of the things that go through my head as I'm studying this, because we'd be here a long time, but longer than we're going to be. But no, it's a great thought. We will have a new body. Will it look the same as we look here? I don't see why not. Abraham was recognized. Moses, Elijah were recognized. Christ was recognized. And so what the new and improved model will be like, I don't know. You know, will we be able to travel through space instantaneously, pass through walls like Christ passed through a wall? You know, there's those kind of things that I don't know. See, is baldness truly an imperfection, or is it actually everybody else is the ones that are at the imperfect there? Anyway, let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for just the fun that we can have looking to the future, and may we never get out of sight that ultimately we are in your presence, and we are glorifying and worshiping you for eternity, and that's just the most exciting part, as hell is so terrifying because you are not there, they are not in your presence, heaven is exciting because we are in your presence. Thank you again for just the imagination that we can use as we think about what forever will be like with you. Just guide and direct again in our service as we spend more time studying your word. Teach us and prepare our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, come and grab a paper. I don't have enough for everybody, so I'm going to have to...